Sometimes I wonder why I spend the lonely night dreaming of a song. The melody haunts my reverie, and I am once again with you.
Cherries Hung with Snow by Ronnie Smith, with George Cole as Tommy. Fulham, Southwest London, 1958.
But that was long ago. Now my consolation is in the stardust of a song.
Memories you gave for me, you can't beat the memories you gave of me.
Man, sweet, sweet, Maria,
memories you gave
made of this.
I really came back to see if I could find Lil. I hadn't been down Fulham way for 5 years or more. I left the old manor in January 1953, National Service, in Korea. After the mob, I was restless. I joined the Merchant Navy for a while, sailed to Aussie and the States, chased the local talent the way sailors do, got drunk, trying to forget. Lost friends, lost loves. But I couldn't forget. Especially Lil. I used to think of her loads of the time. I don't know why. I didn't think I was in love with her or anything. But I did want to see her again. She had been a dear, true friend to me, as Lil. And a bit more. I would often recall the glorious afternoons we spent together those many years ago.
Sweet, sweet memories you gave of me. You can't beat the memories you gave of me.
Man,
sweet, sweet
Maurice,
memories you gave
made of this.
I was just 17 when she first led me to bed. She was 32-ish.
Come along, sweetheart.
Big-hipped, full-breasted, creamy-skinned, beautiful-looking. She was a Rubens masterpiece of a woman.
You're not frightened, are you, Dinky?
No.
I'll be ever so kind to you.
She took me by the quivering hand and sunk back into her perfumed sheets, naked as heaven on a clear day.
Oh, Tommy, I love you.
It was an adolescent's lonely pillar dream, realised.
Love you.
It was an apprenticeship that grew from timorous adventure through frenzied passion to long, lovely moments of just being together.
I want to marry you, Lil. What are you laughing at me for?
Don't you understand that most of the old girls round here would string me up as a witch if they knew?
What?
That I'd seduced you?
Aye?
Been having my wicked way with you nearly every afternoon for a month. Plucked your cherry.
Oh, I'd have done the same to you, but I didn't know how. I do now.
They're right, really. I'm twice your age.
So?
And they reckon I'm on the game.
They're wrong, aren't they?
Bigots don't recognise the truth, Dinky.
It's nothing to do with the nosy old sods round here. I'm 18 next year. They're going to stuff a gun in me hand and send me to fight the commies in Korea where I might get me privates blown off. I'd rather keep them. For you.
You're just an old romance.
Oh, Lil.
No.
Come on.
Tommy, we've got to stop this. We have.
You got a new bloke?
Daft.
Don't satisfy you, do I?
Oh, shut up. You're a lovely kid, Tommy.
I'm not a bloody kid.
Dinky, if we don't stop now, one of us, perhaps eventually both of us, will be desperately hurt.
I was confused. I didn't know how to handle her transition from the ambrosial sex goddess to the moral and maternal status of an ordinary woman. Anyway, she was adamant. It was over. So I stopped going round to see her. I started knocking about with the young girls again. But how do you go back to spring water when you've tasted vintage wine? We used to talk of mundane things as we met in the street. And once I saw her smiling down at me from a bus. I didn't know what thoughts or feelings she kept hidden behind that smile. But smiling back, my thoughts were of her fabulous breasts and warm, compliant body. She sent me letters when I went to Korea, regularly. They kept me going through that nightmare. Then all of a sudden, she left Fulham. Nobody seemed to know where she'd gone or why. The letters stopped coming. I was choked.
Sweet, sweet memories you gave of me. You can't beat the memories you gave of me. Sweet, sweet
memories you gave made of this.
Mind you, everything changes, doesn't it? Ever and constantly, like the colours of the sky. There was a time years ago when this market used to stretch all the way from Walham Green to West Ken, a vibrant river of people, and loaded barrows. There was the smell of Kent apples and the perfume of pinks and sweet peas, freesias and roses, and steamy horse dung. And the faces of the costermongers were all brick-red and bright-eyed and carved from the hard market days of life and weather. And their women were larrily headscarfed, London-lined, coarse with laughter and gypsy dark. Now the stalls have diminished. Some of those old faces will never feel the touch of wind or sun again. Everything changes. It's nearly 50 years since the Korean War ended. I was out there during the last year, 19 years old, seeing my mates get killed. And seeing young girls just like our little Fulham darlings, teenagers, in the first uncertain joy of womanhood. Only Korean teenagers. Faces plastered with Max Factor napalm, blackened and twisted like crumpled burnt toast, staring with young, bewildered eyes. And little kids living in ditches with spam boxes for roofs. And the charging scream of Chinese bugles scraping at your boy's brain like blunt knives as you hug the earth. The crump of shells. The roaming, singing bullets looking for a death kiss. And all the time you were wondering if you'd live to be 20. Some didn't. Lost three of my best mates out there, including my best mate of all, Ernie Higgs. Ego, the eternal loser. I'd known him since infant school. Poor old Ego. I was always having a go at him.
I got to milk 'em in the morning, feed 'em, milk 'em in the evening blues.
Know what, Ego, my son? I've got to say, I think you are deeply bang in love with Sissy Creamcake, the Queen of the Milkies. Gonna get married in white, are we? With a bouquet of pansies?
Then Ego would really do his pieces. I'm no puff, he'd say. Not much, I'd say, knowing he wasn't. Then we'd fight. Of course, really, we were the very best of pals.
Even though I said you wouldn't give nine squirts, bless your heart, I love you so much it hurts. I got the milk 'em in the morning, feed 'em. Milk 'em in the evening.
30 for 2, Bob. Juicy Jeffers. Turpin seeds, Juicy Jeffers. 30 for 2, Bob.
Aussie Cream, Cream Cake, as we green boys used to call him. Express Dairy's milkman, bent as a 9 bob note. So what? Give his heart and soul to a friend, he would. He did. To Ego. To be fair, Cream Cake was a diamond. Mind he took some stick in those far-off fearful days. Right good hidings. Just for being who he was. He didn't give a monkey's. Used to wear fishnet tights under his milkman's apron and pink wash his barnet at weekends. He loved poetry. He was always going on about poets like A.E. Housman, Wilfred Owen and Siegfried Sassoon. I used to think they were third division North footballers. When he started quoting stanzas, I used to blow raspberries. Didn't appreciate a word of it. And then Lil started putting a few lines of verse at the bottom of her letters. Newly discovered gems from Cream Cake's poetry mind, she called them. I began to look forward to them. And enjoy.
My dearest Tommy, I went round Cream Cake's mum's for tea last Sunday. Mrs. Cream's a dear. Poor funny little old thing.
She sure was. Flo Cream. 4 feet and a bit and about 5 stone. She was like an ancient fading fairy. Even though the Second World War had been over for more than a 10 stretch, she thought it was still on. Used to wear a WVS green beret and an ARP boiler suit and go fire watching every Wednesday and Saturday night down Fulham Town Hall to make sure her Cream Cake's birth certificate didn't catch a light.
Know what, Tommy? Mrs. Cream thought I was Cream Cake's bird.
Are you betrothed to my Aussie, Lily?
Well, am I Aussie?
Course you are, Presh, says Cream Cake. And little Flo Cream clasps her hands and looks heavenwards.
Oh, goody tootie winks. It's about time he got married, Lily dear. He's 32.
31, Mother, says Cream Cake tightly.
Course, Tommy. Mrs. C doesn't even begin to realise that her Aussie's a ginger beer. She doesn't know such things. Anyway, Cream Cake and me chuckle and canoodle, drink this latest wine called Blue Nun, and pretend to get engaged with a rubber band from one of Mrs. Cream's brown ale bottles. We all get drunker and start singing.
Here comes the bride, 50 inches wide. See how she wobbles, big backside.
Then Flo keels over and we carry her to bed, snoring. After that, me and Cream Cake sit together and talk about you and Ego and the others, and how terrible it is, you being involved in war, so young. We start to read poems to each other, for comfort. Cream Cake read me another new one. A.E. Ousman. Wonderful. I've written it down for you. Hope you enjoy it. Loveliest of trees, the cherry now, is hung with blooms along the bough. Now of my 70 years and 10, 20 will not come again. And take from 70 springs a score, it only leaves me 50 more. And since to look at things in bloom, 50 springs are little room. About the woodlands I will go, to see the cherries hung with snow.
When somebody loves you, it's no good unless he loves you. All the way. Happy to be near you when you need someone to cheer you. All the way. Taller than the tallest trees, that's how it's got to feel. Deeper than the deep blue sea is, that's how deep it goes, if it's real.
Tuppence each, 30 for 2, Bob. Come on, ladies, Juicy Jeffers. Here you are. Tuppence each, 30 for 2, Bob. Come on, ladies, Juicy Jeffers.
In his yellow and black striped jumper and dark twill trousers, Hector Duckett looked like a giant bumblebee with a bright red face. He certainly had a deadly sting.
I thought you was dead.
Disappointed?
Frankly, yes.
Only the good die young.
Well, he wasn't no bloody good and he's dead.
Who?
Ernie Eggs.
Ego?
Him, the worthless git.
Ego was 22 carat.
Tampered with my little Doreen, though, didn't he? Put her up the stick.
Ego didn't put Doreen Duckett up the stick at all. The real father of Doreen's baby, which Ego claimed as his own, was Sid Beasley, a dark, sleek, roving, thieving local impregnator, later Fulham Parish.
Then that Eggs...
You mean Ego...
...goes gallivanting off abroad, bleeding snuffs it within a year of matrimony and leaves my little Doreen a widow. Typical.
He wasn't on safari holiday, Governor, and he certainly didn't die on purpose.
No good teddy boys. I should never have let him marry him.
Shouldn't have let him? He bloody forced him.
You bet you marry my poor little Doreen, you dirty little sod. You'll marry her the day after her 16th birthday.
Shotgun boogie, I done saw your track. Look out, Mr. Rabbit, when I cock my hammer back.
Duckett was definitely schizophrenic.
Well, over on the ridge is a scaly bark. Hickory nuts are big, you can see them in the dark. The big fat squirrels, they scratch and they fight. I'll be on that ridge before daylight.
My only little grandson is an orphan now. And it's all down to that Schnorrer Eggs deflowering of my daughter. And the worry of that cataclysmic marriage prompted, I'm convinced, my prostate trouble. Consequently, I am now a man alone.
Mrs. Duckett pass on then?
No. She was enticed away by a meter collector from the North Thames Gas Board, who wasn't in need of frequent nocturnal jaunts to the gazunder.
Did he leave a receipt?
He didn't even empty the meter. What are you doing back in Fulham anyway?
This and that.
Nothing, in other words.
I'm planning a window cleaning empire.
Hard graft, you wouldn't last a day.
Oh, I used to make a good job of Lily Higgs's windows.
There goes Auntie. The brass with the knocking shop.
Lil wasn't no brass. She was a photographic model.
For Soho 6, guys.
You!
Don't start getting violent, son. I'm still a special constable.
Oh, yes, I'm the great pretender.
I left the market and meandered around Walham Green looking for familiar faces. There were none. So many had gone. All my old mates sacrificed to war. Young men passing along before their time. Still, death has no favourites. We all get invited to dinner sooner or later. I looked across to the swimming baths. A Hollywood blonde, hunched over a pushchair, was waving at me. It was Doreen Duckett.
What does the rain fall up above? Why do fools fall in love? Why do they fall in love?
I was brown as a nutmeg from foreign sun. My hair all quiffed and greased had been cut to perfection by a Chinese barber in Kowloon for $2 Hong Kong. I was wearing a black T-shirt, leather jacket and sky blue jeans, and an enigmatic leer. I reckon there wasn't a bird within a 10-mile radius of Walham Green who'd be able to say no. Well, one didn't anyway.
How lovely to see you, Tommy. I thought it was Tony Curtis.
James Dean, they reckon.
Oh, well, whatever. You look really handsome.
Appreciate it, ma'am.
Oh, it's all right.
This Eggo's boy, is it?
Well, yes. He's nearly 5. Marlon Sidney.
I tell you, if little Marlon Sidney had had sideburns and a fedora hat, he would have been a growth-restricted Sid Beasley reincarnated.
Looks just like poor dear Eggo, doesn't he?
Yes.
She might have been a right old scrubber, but Doreen Duckett was certainly a very good-looking Richard III. She had a pair of bristles that made Jane Mansfield look flat-chested, and her black nylon legs were sheer perfection. I felt a tremor running through me as I feasted on her rich perfume, trying to avoid the look of invitation lurking in her sexy green eyes.
Of course, you do realise I'm a widow now, Tommy. Mind, I've remained true to Eggo's memory. Oh, yes, over 5 years without a man. Without love.
Really, Dor?
And do you know, my sweet little Marlon Sidney's never, ever seen his dad.
Of course he hadn't. Marlon Sidney's pater, Sid Beasley, got blown up on a gelignite job long before the baby was born.
I never stopped crying for 2 months after my Eggo got killed at Chunchon. You ask my dad.
What do you keep bleeding crying for, Doreen?
I feel so tragic, Daddy.
What for?
I've just heard my Eggo's been killed in battle.
Saved me a job. When?
10 days ago, apparently.
You're better off without him, Doreen. He was no good.
He was my husband.
Only through necessity.
Dad?
What?
Do you think it'd be wrong of me to still go up the Palladium with Josie Duggan tonight?
Wrong?
Well, Eggo's memory and that. The platters. I've got a 5 bob seat.
Well, you don't want to go and waste the bleeding ticket, do you?
She moved round the pushchair, getting disturbingly close to me.
Tommy?
Yes, Tom?
Did you actually see Ego dead?
I did, as it happens.
Oh, Tommy.
I could feel her soft white fingers enfolding my hand.
You poor thing.
Yeah. I'd been talking to him about the Marciano-Jersey Joe Walcott fight, you know, in this foxhole the way you do. He started chewing a digestive biscuit. Suddenly there was a whine and a thud. And there was Ego, sitting bolt upright, a little black hole through his helmet. The biscuit clenched hard between his teeth.
A biscuit? How terrible.
He was dead.
Was there any blood?
Not till I touched him and he toppled over.
Oh, Tommy. Hold on to me. I think I'm going to faint.
I hesitated, but she was imploring me with those emerald green eyes and the close smell of her was all woman. I know how Samson must have felt when first accosted by Delilah. I put my arms round her and there, in the middle of Walham Green, she clung to me and sobbed into my chest. Marlon Sidney howled. Traffic hooted. I knew I was cuddling Dynamite. But I was only a man. Weaker than most. We went round to her mate Joseph's for the afternoon and borrowed a bedroom. I couldn't leave her alone after that. I fell in love with her. Well, sort of the bumpy bits.
Baby's knee, where will the baby's dimple be? Baby's cheek or baby's chin? Seems to me it'll be a sin if it's always covered by the safety pin. Where will the dimple be?
I'm having a baby, Daddy.
You've already got a bleeding baby, Doreen.
Another one.
Well, how can you have another one? Your husband is 6 feet under in Yugoslavia.
Korea.
Wherever. He's in no position to make babies.
I am attractive to other men.
You haven't been indulging in adultery, have you?
I have my needs, Daddy.
What needs?
Female requirements.
You've caught this sort of thing off your mother.
Perhaps she had needs too.
I gave her more than enough housekeeping.
No woman can live on housekeeping alone, Father.
Another baby? I'm not selling enough Jeffers to keep the one you've got. And what am I going to tell Councillor Mrs. Letts?
She's not having a baby too, is she?
Don't be so disgusting. She's got 17-year-old twins and she's a widow well up in morals. I've been getting on well with her and all. We sat up our Thursday night discussing the rights and wrongs of VD clinics in a democratic society. In fact, we're becoming so friendly she's invited me to the Empire Day wish drive down the Scouts Hut in Fulham Cross.
I didn't think Empire Day was celebrated anymore.
Some of us still care about the natives. Oh dear, oh dear. Look, let's pray it was a wayward sperm, a leftover from him, that Ego bloke, trapped in the fallopians.
It's Tommy Smith.
What?
Shotgun boogie, I done saw your track. Look out, Mr. Rabbit, when I cock my hammer back.
Have you Walham Green teddy boys got a bleeding vendetta against me, eh?
No, Mr. Duckett.
Then why have you ravaged my Doreen again, eh? You... Catamite!
I didn't ravage you, did I, Dora?
I didn't quite know what was happening.
Well, over on the ridge is a scaly bark. Hickory nuts are big, you can see them in the dark. The big fat squirrels, they scratch and they fight. I'll be on that ridge before daylight.
Duckett had fists like cauliflowers and a reputation for using them as head bashers when he got the ump.
If you yobbos these days thought less of your testicles and more of your principles, we'd still have a British Empire to rule over.
I was close to the door, keeping my distance from him. Florets of foam bubbled at the corners of his mouth as his fat lips formed the word, marriage.
Shotgun boogie, I wanted wedding bells. I'll be back, little gal, when your pappy runs out of shells.
I'd been this way before. When Ego got married to Doreen, I was best man that time. Anyway, whatever the reason... love, lust, fear, or the old-fashioned concept, honour, I married her. And you know what? I was convinced I saw old Ego sitting behind the registrar laughing his head off. I'll get him one day if he was. Anyway, with Doreen safely signed up again, old man Duckett simmered down. He rented us a back bedroom and a gas ring in his Lily Road terrace for £2.10 a week. I got a job with the Amalgamated Window Cleaning Company. I also discovered a lucrative little sideline, picking up, legally, bits of Victoriana. Oil lamps, Staffordshire figures, stuff like that, and selling them for good prices down the newly sprung clusters of antique shops which lurked like highwaymen along the New King's Road. Doreen got chubbier by the day as we settled down to the rigours of young married life.
1, 2, 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock, rock. 5, 6, 7 o'clock, 8 o'clock, rock. 9, 10, 11 o'clock, 12 o'clock, rock. We're gonna rock around 10 o'clock tonight. Put your glad rags on. Join me, hon. We'll have some fun when the clock strikes one. We're gonna rock around the clock tonight. We're gonna rock, rock, rock till broad daylight. We're gonna rock around the clock tonight. When the clock strikes 2, 3, and 4, if the band slows down, we'll yell for more. We're gonna rock around the clock tonight. We're gonna rock, rock, rock till broad daylight. We're gonna rock around the clock tonight.
That was the bestest yet.
Yeah.
Do it again.
I've already done it 3 times.
Oh, just once more. Go on. Sexy.
Oh, I'm cream cracker, Dora.
Imagination will help.
Sleep would be better.
Pretend I'm a princess.
Huh?
And you're a big rough pirate.
Pirate?
Dick, the one-eyed Avenger.
Dora.
It'll really spice our sex life up.
It needs spicing?
I read it in Woman's Weekly or somewhere.
Sleep had become a stranger. Duckett was a definite egg case. But as his courting of this grand Tory lady, Councillor Mrs. Letts, progressed in earnest, well, I noticed a great change in him.
Love is a many splendid thing.
He started polishing his shoes till they gleamed like summer plums and parting his hair down the middle, plastered flat with Vaseline and spit. He even took to wearing a corset, which he got from the Great Universal Store's mail order catalogue.
It's the April rose that only grows in the early spring.
Councillor Mrs. Letts was always freshly painted, with rosebud lips, dolly daydream cheeks, and high-arched penciled eyebrows. She wore huge picture hats which streamed with ribbons, and rustling summer frocks. As she charted her passage amongst the tiny minions of the humdrum world around her, she always reminded me of her haughty Spanish galleon in full and glorious sail.
Love is nature's way of giving a reason to be living.
One, two, three. Another one home. Ludo's a smashing game, isn't it, Nelly?
Yes.
Your turn, my dear.
Do you know, Hector, after the sudden death of my husband, Edgar, in that dreadful fish pond in 1952, I hurled myself into politics.
Lucky old politics.
Yes.
I never dreamed that through politics I would meet another solid slab of English manhood with whom I could have so much in common.
I feel quite humbled, Nelly.
I like that in a man. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I feel, Hector, as though we are growing closer. But, Hector, before enthusiasm gallops away with your sensibilities, I must point something out.
Point away, my dear.
Well, it concerns the male-female relationship.
Oh, yes.
You see, I have no zeal for the physical aspects of such an affinity. I have, in a manner, been a Virgo in tacto since my twins were born.
Admirable.
A holding of hands, a loving smile, a brushing even of fingertips, and on Saturday nights, a controlled cuddle while listening to the light programme are quite sufficient for my womanly appetite. Do you catch my drift?
Do I? Mrs. Councillor Letts, Nelly, you are truly the woman of my dreams.
The golden crown that makes a man a king.
One night when Doreen was down at bingo, Duckett and me were sitting in his kitchen drinking whiskey and getting slowly stacked. He'd been rambling on about love and marriage and council and Mrs. Letts. As he got drunker, his chin drooped on his chest and he started dribbling. Suddenly, he fixed me with a very strange, fond look.
Hey there, you with the stars in your eyes. Love never made a fool of you. You used to be too wise.
He smiled lopsidedly, reached out and plonked one grey hand on my knee.
There's something I want to discuss with you, dear lad. Something personal, private.
I went as tense as a Vestal Virgin.
Straight from my heart.
Our eyes locked. My bowels froze.
Men's talk. Just me and you.
His lips curled back in a smile. I realised he didn't have his choppers in. It wasn't a pretty sight. Oh, blimey, surely Duckett wasn't another cream cake. As I stared at his gums, I began to wonder if it was me he loved and not Councillor Mrs. Letts at all. Or perhaps he was ambidextrous. I was coming out in a cold sweat. I decided that if his fingers spidered up to my thigh, I was going to dive out of the window and scarper up Fish Alley.
My son. Only by law I'll grant, but still, my son.
I decided to humour him.
That's right.
Dad, you do understand. You've got responsibilities now, lad, don't you? A nice little wife and soon 2 children.
Yes, Dad.
Good. Good. So now, son, you've got to, well, finally grow up.
Right.
Dad.
Dad.
You see, I'll freely admit that I found it very difficult myself to cross that vast, confusing chasm between boyhood and manhood.
What the hell was he going on about?
See, sonny, we, all of us, would love to stay in the warmth and uncomplicated comfort of our mother's arms. All us boys.
Oh, he was at it again, squeezing my kneecap.
Boys are not trained to deal with women.
Wonder if Dory knows about his predilections.
Especially how to cope with what's expected of them in marriage. Erections on demand, weekday couplings, that sort of thing.
He wants to have a word with Doreen.
But mothers ask nothing. Well, eat up your greens, wash behind your lug holes, but nothing carnal.
I so loved my mother. I wish I'd have married her.
Hector Oedipus Duckett.
We can't be Peter Pan, son. We're compelled to become men. We have to put away our Ormby trains, our lead soldiers, our Beano comics, and our pirates' outfits.
Pirates' outfits, Mr. Dad?
Yes.
He stood up and with a massive sigh opened up a cupboard.
You see, I found this Long John Silver hat, rubber sword and eye patch in the linen basket when I was tied in your room.
How could I tell him Doreen bought the gear, down Woolies, for added realism?
I was quite moved. Took me back. I used to love playing pirates myself. Do you know, I even tried the hat on and gave the sword a little wave. Pieces of eight! Pieces of eight! But we can't play pirates, son. When we shoulder grown-up commitments, we have to play more dangerous games. So to remove temptation, to help you put away childish things, I'm going to burn this little lot in me beetroot boiler first thing in the morning.
Princess Doreen wouldn't be very pleased. We were sailing for Botany Bay that night.
Is it all going in one ear and out the other?
Like I said, Duckett was changeable.
You're going to have to get out, Doreen.
Out?
Yes, out.
Why, Daddy?
Because.
What about Marlon Sydney and little Cheyenne?
Well, you don't reckon I'm going to adopt them, do you? I'm taking a lodger.
We are your lodgers, Daddy.
This is a lady lodger. One who could have a great impact on my future as a human being.
You're going to shack up with Councillor Mrs. Lex?
No, I bleeding am not. We're not even engaged.
See you later, alligator. Have the wild crocodile. See you later, alligator. Have the wild crocodile. Can't you see you're in my way now? Don't you know you're pepper style?
So Daddy Duckett gave us the elbow and Councillor Mrs. Letts wangled a London Oberspill house for us way out in the wilds of East Anglia, near Ipswich. A place I'd never heard of.
Lovely, Tommy. Our own bathroom and marigolds in the garden.
I think they're dandelions, Dawn.
The estate was half-built and soulless. The gardens were thick with red mud and weeds. The sky above looked alien and sinister. Crows hopped and cackled everywhere. But I knuckled down. I bought a Ford Thames van and working as a casual trader, I started selling antiques around the country markets. I was doing very well, thank you, and giving Doreen plenty of dough. But, like she once said to old man Duckett...
No woman can live on housekeeping alone, Father.
Ain't that a shame? My tears feel like rain. Ain't that a shame? You're the one to blame.
Tommy!
What?
Did you know there's loads and loads of American bases round this way?
We could get atom bombed by the Ruskies.
Oh, silly. They've got searchlights and guards with big helmets. Priscilla told me.
Who's bleeding Priscilla?
My friend. She's divorced. Lives with her sister over Magpie Crescent. She's asked me if I'd like to go to a Friends Across the Sea evening next Friday at Lake and Heath Air Base. Her sister will look after the kids if you want to go anywhere. Hmm. Oh, can I go, Tommy? Just this once. I've never actually met an American.
See you later, alligator. After a while, crocodile. Can't you see you're in my way now? Don't you know you're pepper style?
It became every Friday. Then every Saturday, too. Then Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday.
I'm a married woman.
Sure you are, honey.
Oh, Hank... Hank! Oh, I'm not that sort of girl.
Sure you're not, honey. Sure.
Anyway, during one of my increasingly lonely nights, I was sitting in the front room in the dark, having a fag and a drink. It was nearly 2 a.m. I'd been thinking about things. And about Lil again. Wondering where she was, what had happened to her.
In the wee small hours of the morning, while the whole wide world is fast asleep, you lie awake and think about the girl and never ever think of counting sheep.
Hello, Tommy.
What's up?
All right.
Fine.
Tommy.
What?
I'm ever so sorry.
Why?
I'm leaving you.
Yeah?
Nothing personal.
Oh, right.
I'm really sorry. I am.
Thanks.
I've met this American, see?
Hmm?
A lieutenant from Oklahoma, like in the musical. Always ever so handsome. But he's not just that. He's kind. Ever so. And he reckons I look like Kim Novak. He wants me to marry him.
Oh, congratulations.
You're such an understanding husband, Tommy. I do love him. And he loves me.
Whatever happened to One-Eyed Dick, the pirate?
Oh, Tommy. Tommy. Oh, you take things so well. You really do. Love's such a funny thing. We did have a good marriage, didn't we?
9 months of unbridled happiness.
Oh, what a lovely... lovely thing to say.
Mind me drink.
Oh, sorry.
What about the kids?
Where I go, they go. He knows that. Okay? I'll take care of them.
She would, I knew.
Tell you what, Tor. There's no point arguing. You keep this house and I'll move on. It'd be the best for all of us. I'll pay the rent and send you dough every week. Fair enough? Till the divorce is sorted out.
Well, I never felt more like singing the blues, 'cause I never thought that I'd ever lose your love, dear. Why'd you do me this way?
I didn't see Doreen or the kids for a long time after that night. That's just the way life goes. I wasn't feeling good. I did care about Doreen. I didn't love her, but I cared. And I did love the kids. That's why I walked away. Better than fighting and using them as pawns, pulling them apart. She was their mother, a good mother, all in all, and whatever went on in her confused psyche, nothing could change that blood link. I got a room in Ipswich. I started drinking a lot more than was good for me. Feeling sorry for myself, I suppose. I kept thinking of Lil, of the cheery letters she used to send me when I was in Korea, of those long-ago secret afternoons I spent with her, of the poetry she loved.
Come to me in the silence of the night. Come in the speaking silence of a dream.
Why did I keep thinking of her, eh? Wondering about her. Where she was. Who she was with. Why did I care?
When your lonely heart has learned its lesson, you'd be hers if only she would call. In the wee small hours of the morning, that's the time you miss her most of all. One
cold night in early November, I was drinking rum in this pub out in the sticks, minding my own business. In those days, Londoners were treated as aliens in a lot of outlying country areas. Immigrants, seducers of local women, creators of unemployment, the usual crap. So I wasn't surprised when a fat slobber with American haircut and motorbike leathers came sidling over like John Wayne, leaned on the bar and eyeballed me.
You've been looking at my woman all night, fly boy.
A couple of his mates, who seemed to be sharing a brain cell, moved behind him. Dead-eyed, hard-faced. Beyond them was a smirking yellow-blonde tart in a crutch-high pink plastic miniskirt. I winced.
I ain't as hard up as you, mate.
He swung at me with a pint pot in his fist. I ducked and kicked him hard in the delicates. He was as tough as a cardinal's. He grunted, doubled up and charged at me head down. I went backwards out into the cold air of the night. There were boots and fists thudding into my body as I hit the ground. Something crashed into my head. Everything went black. When I came to, I realised I was hunched up in the back of my own van. Throbbing with pain, I crawled out. Those Suffolk boys had given me a right larruping and dumped my van in a ditch down a narrow lane. It was early light. I followed the lane to the crossroads. The sign said A134, Bury St Edmunds, 4 miles. I knew there was a railway station in Bury. I could get to Ipswich from there, then sort out the recovery of my van. I hobbled along the verge. I thumbed a few motors. None stopped. I'd managed about a mile when a Morris Minor came buzzing along. I stuck up my hands in a pleading gesture. The Morris passed me, slowed down and stopped. There were two women in the front. One was grey-haired with glasses, about 60. The other woman, the driver, was much younger. They were both looking over their shoulders, watching me as I struggled to reach them. The driver held on to the steering wheel, staring. Lady Fate's a funny old cow. Nothing sways her intentions. I mean, if Ego hadn't got killed, I wouldn't have got hiked up with Doreen Duckett. Mrs. Duckett, according to Duckett, would never have run off with a gasboard man. Duckett would never have fallen for counsel of Mrs. Letts. Doreen wouldn't have met the American Air Force, and I wouldn't have got me head kicked in. And Lil, driving home from night duty as an auxiliary nurse in Sudbury, wouldn't have found me stumbling by the wayside.
Only
she had this little flat in a quiet street in Bury St Edmunds. She was even lovelier than I'd remembered. Her hair was long and dark brown, without a touch of bleach, and her gorgeous eyes would have melted the art of Caligula. I told her how I came to be in Suffolk, about Doreen, everything.
So what made you leave Fulham so suddenly, Lil?
Wasn't that sudden, Tommy. It was a gradual decision. I love Fulham, always will. But it was changing so much, and that muddling lot was getting scary.
You've lost a lot of weight, girl.
Got to the point where I didn't have much energy. I thought it best.
You had plenty of energy when I used to come round.
Yeah.
Had some right good laughs, eh?
Long time ago, Tommy. Don't you like me, Slimmer?
I like you, whatever. Got a bloke, have you, Lil?
I'm not interested.
Not even in me? Why did you stop writing?
Just...
why?
You wouldn't understand, Tommy.
Try me.
What's the use?
Go on.
I wanted to be with you, and I couldn't.
Talk bloody sense. You said it had to end.
It did.
Why?
Because I wanted more from you than I thought.
I wasn't giving it to you right then.
Giving it. I was beginning to get feelings for you, Tommy. Feelings. I was falling in love with you.
Love?
Yeah. An impossible love.
I loved you and all.
You never loved me, Tommy. You were just a kid. I was wrong.
I still love you.
Tommy.
Marry me, Lil.
Oh, nothing's changed.
Marry me.
You asked me that years ago, remember?
This is different.
It couldn't work. People. Your mum and dad.
I'm not asking them to marry me.
There's 15 years between us. It's too much.
I don't want a birth certificate. I want a marriage certificate.
You're already married.
As soon as I'm divorced. If you don't want me, Lil, say so.
I do. That's always been the problem.
Then we're going to be together. I won't let you go, darling. Not this time.
Oh, Tommy.
It was as though we'd never met, and yet as though we'd never parted. Anyway, Lil swapped her 2 weeks' annual holiday to coincide with the Christmas period. I hired a yellow and chrome American Oldsmobile, and we set out on a grand tour of Suffolk. There was a new and tender loveliness in the relationship. I really was in love.
Beautiful countryside round here.
Beautiful company and all.
Flannelette.
Here, next town we get to, I'm going to buy you a gold band. Then we can book in wherever we go, man and wife.
Mr and Mrs Smith. They'll never believe us.
We had a wonderful holiday. We went through villages and towns whose ancient names seemed to carry a Suffolk burr. Beccles and Bungay, Hevingham, Peasenall, Yoxford, Theberton and Snape. We started following the coastline and stayed in small hotels and pink-washed Suffolk pubs. We were so happy together. We should never have been apart from the first day we met. A few days after Christmas, we stopped at Aldborough. That night we strolled along the beach. We could have been the only two people in the world.
You're my dream come true, my one and only you.
Look at all them stars.
Beings.
I used to gaze up at them in Korea and wonder if you were looking too.
Tommy.
If I could, I'd haul them down one by one and build you a palace right on this shore.
Wouldn't that be bright? People would be able to see everything we got up to.
We could always pull the curtains. Let's buy a flat and go back and live in Fulham Mill.
What about people?
Oh, bugger people.
My job?
We're together, and I can earn more than enough for both of us.
So we moved back to Fulham early in the new year in 1959. We got a flat in Crabtree Lane, and we used to go down Craven Cottage regularly to give Fulham FC our fervent support.
That Johnny Ames is wonderful, isn't he? Just wonderful.
Oh, I prefer Jimmy Hill myself.
Jealous.
Summer turned into autumn. Had any man and woman ever been so happy together? So much in love. We used to go to the pictures or to see a West End show two or three times a week. One Saturday evening, we were getting ready to go up the Forum to see Tony Curtis and Jack Lemmon in Some Like It Hot. We'd both been looking forward to it. I was ready to go, watching TV. Lil was in the bedroom, putting on her glad rags.
Come on, love! We've only got 20 minutes! Lil!
I got up and walked to the bedroom. She was seated, slumped in front of her dressing table mirror, her face side on to the top, her arms hanging down. Her airbrush lay on the carpet beside her. I felt a great and terrible grief welling up inside me. It was a heart attack just waiting to happen. That's what they said, the way doctors do. It was as though the most beautiful piece of music in creation had stopped playing. And the silence touched my soul. She was buried in Brompton Cemetery. It was one of those late English autumn afternoons. The bright sun threw many shadows. There weren't a lot of mourners. As the car pulled out of the cemetery gates, I stared out into the busy world. I almost felt hatred for all the people out there. She was dead and they were living, using up the hours, laughing, loving. Still, all love ends in sorrow. That's the cruelty of it. I never again loved a woman the way I loved Lil. She taught me about sex and friendship and loyalty and love. She also taught me to appreciate poetry, just the way Cream Cake taught her. How can death claim Burns and Herrick, Houseman, Owen and Sassoon? The songs they wrote can never die. Not in the hearts of ordinary people. Real people.
When I'm dead, my dearest, sing those sad songs for me.
Doreen and me got divorced eventually. The last I heard, she was living near Aberystwyth, married to a Welsh hill farmer. She had five kids by him and was, by all accounts, very happy. Marlon Sidney wound up with a first at Oxford in English and European medieval history, or something along those lines. He is currently a professor at Yale University. Is that Sid Beasley's sharp and cunning brain coming out? Or dumbing down? Cheyenne goes by the name of Chaz. And who can blame him? Mind, he turned out a right bad un. Last I heard, he was doing 7 years for armed robbery. My genes or Duckett's? Duckett married Councillor Mrs. Letts and moved to Cheltenham. They were killed soon after in a coach crash on the way to a Tory conference. Lady Fate, eh?
Plant thou no roses at my head, nor shady cypress tree.
I've wandered around the world since those long ago Fulham days. A lot has happened. I married twice again and had three more children. Yet always I remember her. My Lil.
Be the green grass above me, with showers and dewdrops wet. And if thou wilt, remember. And if thou wilt, forget.
I'll never forget. Not Lil. Never.
And now the purple dusk of twilight time steals across the meadows of my heart. High up in the sky, the little stars climb, always reminding me that we're apart.
In Cherries Hung with Snow by Ronnie Smith, Tommy was played by George Cole, and Young Tommy by David Thorpe. Lily, Becky Hindley. Duckett, John Hartley. Doreen, Deborah Berlin. Mrs. Letts, Kate Williams. Hank and Slobbo, Matt Podmore. Other parts were played by members of the cast. The play was directed by Enid Williams.